Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are all guilty. None of us in this building this morning prays enough. Time spent watching college football, well, that is ample. Time spent Googling, that is plenteous. And time spent sleeping, well, that is usually adequate. But time spent praying is quick and momentary and succinct. A table prayer before we eat takes only 5 to 10 seconds. And Luther's sequence of the invocation, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and then his morning or evening prayer from the Catechism takes 1 minute and 20 seconds. Even praying just the prayer as our Lord Jesus taught his disciples here in Luke 11, well, that only takes 17 seconds. Yes, I stopwatched all of these. But the truth of prayer is not how long or do I do enough. The point of prayer is to whom? Jesus teaches our Father, not mother, not the big guy in the sky, not the spirit in the sky, not Mary and not Joseph, not this saint or that saint, and not the beautiful sun or the lovely moon, only the Father. Pray to the Father, to whom no eye has seen. Pray to the Father who created the world in just 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Pray to the Father of infinite lights, and pray to the Father who sees us in secret. Pray to the Father, who of whom Jesus says will confess or deny our names before his throne on the last day. Pray to the Father to whom Jesus prayed in all of his agony and all of his grief. Pray to the Father of whom Jesus meant when he said, I and the Father are one. Pray to the Father who sent his Son into this world to save this world. This is no unknown God. He is Father. In all of these ways that I just described from the Scriptures, you also know the Father. You know him in what he has done. You know him in what he has promised. You know him in what he has fulfilled for you. So don't be like Philip, who on the last night with Jesus made this request of Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. What did Philip want? Did he want a voice come down from heaven? Did he want a revealing of the Father like in the movie The Wizard of Oz? And so Jesus, he answers Philip in this way. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works that I do. How could St. Philip have asked for such a thing as this? Remember, this is exactly the same Philip who had been found by Jesus some 3 years earlier and was told to follow me. This is the same Philip who then went to Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and of the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. St. Philip, he is flesh. St. Philip, he is true man. He is a sinful man to his inner core. For Philip is just like any one of us. We believe, but we harbor these fanatical dreams, do we not? We want charismatic visions. We want personal proof. Jesus, we would say to him, show me a sign. Oh, we confess that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is good and necessary and pleasing, and it is a fine sign of God's, the Father's, love for us. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if God the Father would really show himself through some sign of the times today? Like putting the death blow to all abortion doctors, just like God the Father sent an angel to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night under King Hezekiah. And we confess that the sacrament here of holy baptism is a wonderful work of God in both adults and in babies. But gosh darn it, my kids, they left the church 20 years ago. Couldn't God the Father reveal himself to my wayward son or my wayward daughter in a personal way, just like he did to Saul on the road to Damascus? And one of those simple words that we hear from the pastor's mouth, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We hear those words here publicly in this building and before this altar in private confession personally. But wouldn't God the Father have much more success in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod if at the speaking of the absolution, all of a sudden these rafters would shake and the Holy Ghost would come down like a dove upon us and even singe the hairs of our head? Show us the Father, said Philip. Oh, Philip, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith here in Ark City. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God the Father, and he is the exact imprint of his nature. God the Father has spoken to us by his Son, says the book of Hebrews. His Son comes to us now by very specific means, hearing and listening and tasting. Blessed are you for having believed and not having seen. For you believe because your pastor brings to you the truth of the writers of the Gospels, which is the truth of God the Father. Many other things, so says St. John, many other things could have been written about this Son, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Father, and that believing you may have life in his name. And thus, in the Father's name, you can ask and you can seek and you can knock and you cannot fear not being listened to. So here's an illustration of the Father's love as given by Jesus in this morning's Holy Gospel. It's technically not a parable. Jesus tells a simple story, and really, it is quite a ridiculous one. Put yourself into this story. You have a friend. She's on a journey and stops by your house. It's late. It's midnight. Your family is in bed, but it is great to see your friend again, but she is hungry. Oh, no, you are plumb out of food. But you have another good friend. You have another good friend in town, a neighbor. And so you decide to go to this friend's house at this late hour and to ask for a late meal of 3 loaves of bread for your friend. You find his door, you knock, you ask. He answers without even opening the door, "Quit bothering me. It's late and my household is in bed and I cannot get up." Yes, you are good friends. Well, maybe past tense, now you were good friends. But you keep asking, and lo and behold, your friend opens the door and gives you the 3 loaves of bread for your other friend. Why? Because you are such good friends? Not so, says Jesus. But yes, because the giver of the bread is generous. You, as the asker of the giver, you are not too timid, and you are not too bashful, and you are not too fearful in seeking and in asking and in knocking. By all means, just do it. Consider the other text from the Old Testament, Father Abraham. Abraham knew the situation in Sodom as he had prayed for the city before. His nephew Lot lived there. And Abraham, he prayed for its inhabitants. He pleads to God the Father. Spare the city if only 50 righteous are there. Well, if only 45 righteous are there, if only 40 live there that are righteous, if only 30, if only 20, if only 10 righteous live there, Lord, spare the city. Sadly, only four righteous lived there, and God the Father destroyed the immoral city of Sodom, sparing only the four. Never be afraid to ask. No petition is too small, and no petition is too great. Never be timid or anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, teaches St. Paul. And St. James, he teaches this of prayer: ask, believe, do not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Even Jesus did that, did he not? As Jesus' own death weighted him down on the night before his crucifixion, our Lord prayed to God his Father. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but yours. God's will was done. Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus died on the cross. And the cross, remember, that is the sign of God's love for us. For by the cross, the Father has reconciled you and me and a sinful world to himself. Now, you belong to Christ. Those who belong to Christ, they pray. So you pray. Every day, in your tractor and in your closet and at your bedside, you pray that five-second table prayer, and you pray your hour-long grieving at 3 a.m. for your sons and your daughters who have left the church. And you pray because there is no one else who will hear your prayers, and there is no one else who can deliver you from your troubles. So let us approach. Let us approach our Father's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen.